Open your Bibles for our second reading to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak, and as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and broughtest money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together, for for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have seen some good in Samson as we've studied his life together. And here at this point in Samson's life, we see perhaps the culmination of Samson's pride, evil, and presumption. And it is a tragic, tragic thing to watch. But it is not uncommon. So it is not to be excused, even in leaders, when they do evil. Note how it was by such base desires that the Lord chastised him later in this passage. In the beginning of this chapter, we see that the Lord loved the harlot and went in unto her, which is forbidden to him, and yet he did. And, you know, I think that Samson had laid a pretty good foundation for willful action throughout the whole of his life, such that the Lord, because the Lord was blessing Israel through him, the Lord, if you will, tolerated without punishment many of the sins and illicit desires that Samson had. And so what this did was it lulled Samson into an estate of presumption. And so Samson mistook the patience of the Lord for his approval, that the Lord would continue to bless him even though he continued to act against his commandments. Can I tell you that many people have fallen on those rocks? That many a professing Christian has fallen upon those very rocks. I did this and nothing happened. It must be okay when it's not. And so we have a lot to learn from Samson here as we consider what the Lord is doing. There is a greater paradigm in play here. The Lord himself is raising Israel up over the Philistines. And so Samson is but a tool, but a means to that end. Like the Assyrian of old, Samson is the tool of God to destroy the enemies of God. And then Samson himself will be chastised for his presumption, for his willful disobedience of the law of God. Like Moses told the children of Israel a long, long time ago, your sin will find you out. Oh, it may be long in coming, but it will come. Do not be presumptuous against the Lord. Do not think you can sin with impunity. If you can, you don't want to be there. Because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He scourges every son whom He receives. Well, another amazing thing that Samson did, they surrounded the city, they locked the gates, and they said, we'll keep him in, and when it's daylight tomorrow, we'll kill him. Samson got up at midnight and said, time to leave. And so he took the gates with him, put them on his back. Gates were good size in those days. We're not talking about a little yard fence. We're talking about the posts, the gates, the bars. He took it all, put it on his back, and notice it says he went up the hill and put it on top of the hill before Hebron. Obviously, a miraculous event due to Samson's great strength being endued with that strength by the Spirit of God. And we see that that strength came and went at the Spirit of God's behest. So, in this instance, the Spirit of God was with him. He took the gates down. He carried them on his back up the hill, not drug them down into the valley, which maybe some others could have done, but no, put them on his back, carried them up the hill, put them down on the top, and escaped out of their hand. Again, he is the Lord's favored in this. All right, so then afterward, we see in verses 4 through, well, it's way down in the chapter, 17, I guess, 4 through 17. So we have Samson, well, he's gone to the harlot and nothing happened. As a matter of fact, there was a deliverance. You know what we call that, right? We call that the temporal fallacy. You know what the temporal fallacy is? So this happened and then that happened. And so this first thing was the cause of the second thing. That's a fallacy. Right? The temporal fallacy. I went into a harlot. I escaped the city just fine. Everything's good. One thing leads to another. I'm free. I'm innocent. So then he goes to the Valley of Sorek and he finds his heart given to a woman that never should have had it, named Delilah. And Delilah is a wicked woman. She has no concern for his holiness, for his uprightness. She only has a selfish concern. As a matter of fact, her concern seems to be more for the pieces of silver than for anything else. That's the kind of woman then Samson ends up with. And I hope you see the chipping away and the progression. We don't have time to unfold all of that, but notice that first of all it was withes, then it was ropes, then it was the weaving of my hair. Let's get closer to the real thing here. And then finally, he tells her all of his heart. He opens up his heart to her rather than to the Lord, and she becomes his idol and his undoing. And so they shave the locks of his head, and I don't want you to think that for a moment that Samson's strength was tied to his mane. It was not. This was indeed under the plan and behest of the Lord. When his locks were shaved, then the Lord departed from him. For Samson's part, his apostasy being complete, he didn't even know it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine there's been a man so singularly favored by the Lord? A man so singularly blessed by the Lord? A man who has been given so much that when the Lord leaves him, he doesn't even know. So far down the road of apostasy has he gone. He doesn't even sense it. He's insensible to the Spirit of God at that point where he had been indeed driven by the Spirit of God before. His willfulness has gotten the better of him. And so now Samson thinks he can do what he wants and always get away with it. Thinks he can do what he wants and his desires have become the Lord's desires. He's now molded God after his own image. Whatever it is that I want must be what God wants. I'll rise up and get away just like I did before. Even if I have revealed the inmost secrets of my vow unto the Lord to be His, a Nazarite to God from the womb. Well, the Lord had left him. And so the Philistines took him. And it cost him. First thing it did is it cost him his sight. Second thing it did, it cost him his dignity. Third thing, it cost him his freedom. He became sport for the Philistines. He became their plaything, their entertainment. He became the WWE for the Philistines. He went from a man feared as the warrior of God to the one who grinds grain and plays for the Philistines. Proverbs chapter 7 tells us, or maybe it's 6, the same thing, in different words. By way of a whorish woman, a man will be reduced to a piece of bread. A piece of bread. A thing to be consumed and tossed. Let us remember the story of Samson. And as we remember it, let us remember the most amazing part of the story, that there is forgiveness with God, even in the face of such wicked rebellion. And so the locks of his hair began to grow, the prophet tells us. Not that there's any magic in the hair, but that we might be induced to hope for Samson that it's not yet over with him. And praise God, it was not. And praise God, Samson got his wits about him once again, and he prayed to the Lord, and he asked for vindication for him, and for vindication for him is vindication for the nation, which is vindication for God's name himself. So don't fret over the fact that the words of his repentance here are not as clear and as cogent as we would like them. Finally, then, recognizing that his life was in God's hands, he said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Recognizing that he was not his own, that his desires needed to get out of there and God's desires needed to come to the fore, he said, "Let me die with the Philistines. Let me be that living sacrifice." And so in that battle, yes, and it is lawful to give up your life in battle. This is not a suicide. This is a battle. We're still at war here. He pushed over the pillars of the temple, bowing himself with all of his strength. And the house fell upon him and upon the Philistines, and he killed more in his death than in his life. And that is a testimony to the greatness of the devotion of the last few moments, the last hours of the life of Samson. Because remember this, that the direction that the tree falls, when it falls in the forest, that's the direction it's going to stay. Samson, we may be surprised here, finds his name in Hebrews 11 as a man of faith. There's a lot of broken people there. Samson's one of them. There's a lot of sinners in that list. Samson's one of them. Let's make sure that our names are there too. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of